Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio, Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. A very interesting, very compelling show for you tonight, folks. And I tell you, one of my major interests, not only the UFO world, but the world of ancient Egypt. And our guest tonight is going to tie those two worlds together for us. He was born and raised in Wilmington, Delaware. Gary Parker attended the University of Delaware and moved to Los Angeles, California in the late 1970s. He worked in the real estate business and became a developer, lived in the Sherman Oaks, California area for 25 years, and decided to try his hand at writing movie scripts. He created Parker Rose Productions with his writing partner, Marjorie Rose. They were lucky enough to have written and sold a few scripts in Hollywood. They had one movie made titled Thank Heaven, starring Jenny McCarthy. And Gary has been a member of the Writers Guild of America for 22 years. Then after a compelling dream, Gary sets out on a journey of his lifetime to restore the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. So tonight we'll talk a little bit about that and the revelation in a NASA photo that leads to the discovery of an alien message and how it ties in with the Great Pyramid. So we'll welcome to the program, Beyond the Darkness, Gary Parker. Good evening, Gary.
Hey, Tim. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, thank you for being with us, my friend.
Sure.
I tell you, it's a compelling lead and a compelling story. I'm going to shut up for a little bit and let you tell let you tell your story. Tell me first, where does this intersect, or how does this start for you? How do you make the transition from writing movie scripts to in this dream that you had, to all of a sudden you have this fever for ancient Egypt and to restore the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid?
Yeah, Tim, it's totally insane. It's unbelievable. What happened was, I always come up with kind of big ideas. And in Hollywood, I was with my writing partner, Margie. She was more the writer. I was like the big idea guy. So what happens is, I was sitting at home one day and I thought, I wonder if there's a way that I can help promote world peace. I know that sounds insane, but I thought, how can one person do that? But I thought, wouldn't it be cool? I came up with an idea. I said, wouldn't it be cool if the world, the whole world, could be involved in a project? And the project being restoring the Great Pyramid and Sphinx. Now, when I say restore, I don't mean to working condition. I don't mean to make them look perfect. I mean, when you look at the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, they're falling apart. Mm-hmm. Egypt is $284 billion in debt. They have rolling blackouts throughout Cairo. And I said, you know, I wonder if I could put some, like globally crowdfund a restoration project. And when I say not restore it perfectly, but put some stucco on it. Now, when I say stucco, I don't mean stucco like on a house. I mean on the second smaller pyramid right next to the Great Pyramid, they have stucco that's still there from ancient times, from like 6,000 years ago. So you get a sample of that, and then you kind of make a stucco like that, and you put it on the Great Pyramid and on the Sphinx, and you make it look nice. Hmm. So being a real estate developer, I've built homes in Los Angeles. And I thought, well, you know what? It would, and I ballparked it at around $7 billion to do this project, and it would take between probably 6 to 10 years to do. So I said to myself, I said, you know what? I could globally crowdfund the balance of this, but I need some money up front to get going. So I said, I probably need anywhere from $10 to $20 million. So I called a few of my producer friends, and I pitched them the idea. They said, Gary, this sounds like a Hands Across America, but you're tying in the whole world. We'd love this idea. I said, guys, do you have any billionaires' phone numbers or emails that I can contact so I can maybe pitch this idea to them? So, Tim, so one of my producer friends gives me Sir Richard Branson's email address.
Oh, wow.
Sir Richard Branson. Yeah, unbelievable. So he goes, Gary, do not tell him where you got this. I said, dude, it's in the vault. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell anybody. So another producer gave me Elon Musk's email. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, these guys are huge. But then I'm thinking to myself, what's the Great Pyramid? You want guys who kind of think they're kings anyway, or pharaohs. So anyway, so I email, and this was the next day after I came up with the idea, I emailed Sir Richard Branson, right? And I figured there's no way he's going to email me back. Tim, I email him. I say, restoring the Great Pyramid. That was my heading, restoring the Great Pyramid and Sphinx, Egypt, blah, blah, blah. Tim, the next morning, I get an email from him. The next morning, man. And he says, Gary, I don't know how you got my email. He said, but I love this idea. He said, I would love to be a part of the restoration of the Great Pyramid and Sphinx. And he said, but this would take so much work, and you have a lot of work to do. So I emailed him back, and I said, Mr. Branson, thank you so much. I actually called him Sir Richard. Mm-hmm. I said, thank you so much for getting back to me. And he actually gave me the phone number of his foundation in New York. He said, Gary, contact them, and I've already emailed them this. So if you're for real, I would love to be part of it. So I thanked him. I said, look, I have months of research to do. Don't worry about it. I'll get back to you in a few months. He said, and he emailed me back and said, thank you. As soon as I sent that email, 15 minutes later, Elon Musk did not email me back, but a lady by the name of Gwyneth Shotwell, who is the president of SpaceX, she emails me back. I didn't know who she was. And she said, but it said Gwyneth Shotwell, SpaceX. She said, Gary, Elon doesn't know how you got his email, but we both love this idea. And if this is a joke, even if it's a joke, we love this idea. And if it's for real, we would love to be part of it. So, Tim, I get two billionaires emailing me back the next day. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is really going to happen. So anyway, that's your answer to how I went from writing scripts to this idea. Okay.
Now,
Gary,
what are the odds? I mean, think about it. I mean, most of us would sit around if we had a dream like that, that we thought, you know what, we're going to take a shot in the dark with this. And even if we had somewhat of an experience of even having those type of contacts or being in that type of business where we were renovating anything.
Right.
Even if we decided we were going to take that type of shot, I mean, the odds of two billionaires in the span.
Forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, it's impossible. But then I thought, my God, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Well, you know, let me say this too.
Okay.
If you've ever tried to write a script and sell it in Hollywood or do a pitch, like you go to a studio with a producer and your writers and you pitch a story, mm-hmm. Tim, it is so hard to do that and so hard to sell anything. And I've been really lucky where I have sold a few things, and I did have a movie made. So maybe that gave me a little bit of ego, like, hey, I can do this. But I'm telling you, Tim, in my head, I was thinking Hands Across America. I could, I could bring the whole world together and peace. So it all had to do with a positive vibe. And for some reason, maybe my email, it resonated with these billionaires and Gwyneth Shotwell. So anyway, so what happens is I'm extremely excited, and I think, oh my God, I have to get in touch with the ambassador to Egypt, you know, over in Washington, D.C., because you can't do anything without, you know, because you're talking about the antiquities division over here in Egypt.
Right.
So I email the ambassador in Washington, D.C., and I said, ambassador, this was the next day. I said, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but I have a couple billionaires that are interested in doing this. And he emails me back, and he said, Gary, if this is for real, he says, I will help you push it. I will help you as much as I can. So in my head, I'm figuring, look, with the whole world pitching in, remember, there's 7.2 billion people on the planet. Everybody throws in a buck, you know, or schools and high schools and junior highs, and it's a whole fundraising thing for the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. Everybody in Egypt is going to get paid. Everybody in Egypt is not only going to get paid because we're going to use all the people in Egypt, but then the people in Egypt are going to realize that the world loves them, that we don't hate Egypt, because they can't get tourism. This would just boost their tourism off the scale. Mm-hmm. And that's what the ambassador emailed me back. He said, Gary, this would really help our tourism. I said, that's my whole plan. It's about world peace. So anyway, so Tim, I don't want to keep beating this to death. So what happens is, I'm super excited, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I could do all my homework. So that day, I said, well, you know what? I should go to the NASA website and download a photo from the International Space Station of the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, and see where you can put, you know, machinery and people and all that kind of stuff, just to take a look, because I've never zoomed in. I've never been to Egypt, and I've never really zoomed in on any of the pictures. You know, you just, when you see them, you just say, oh, that's nice. There's Cairo. There's the Giza Plateau, and you move on. So, Tim, so I get one picture, just one picture from the NASA website. And if I can give the file number, because
sure.
I want everybody to know the file number is ISS032-E-009123. Okay, one more time. That was ISS 032-E-009123. Okay, and the picture was taken on July 25th, 2012. But it was downloaded onto the internet on July 26th, 2012. Okay, so anyway, so I get the picture and I zoom in on the Great Pyramid. But like I said, most people don't zoom in. They just see it from a distance. As you know, the International Space Station takes it from about 200 miles above Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool looking shot. So Tim, so as I zoom into the Great Pyramid, I see something on the south side of the Great Pyramid, and it looks like writing. It looks like, first it looks like shadows. And it looks like shadows. So I zoom in a little closer, and all of a sudden it starts to look like writing. Now, not English. But it looks like almost like Hebrew or maybe some kind of hieroglyphics or something. And I've always been interested in Egypt, and I've watched all the ancient alien stuff and all that kind of stuff. So I saw it and I said, "My God, that looks like writing." So I zoomed in even closer, and it was even more clear. So I say, "Oh my God, that looks like writing." So I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I took a picture and I emailed it to some Judaic scholars, some Aramaic scholars, because you know you can get these people's emails from the universities on the internet, mm-hmm. and they say, you know, and they're linguists. They, you know, they know all about these ancient languages. And I send it to like six of them, like three Judaic scholars, three Aramaic scholars, two Egyptologists, and a couple other people. Oh, and some people in Israel. So anyway, so I said, is this a language? Can you tell me what it says? So they look at it, and the next day I get a bunch of emails back from them. And one lady who is she's kind of famous. She's an Egyptologist, and her name is Dr. Salima Ikram. And she is the head Egyptologist at the American University of Cairo. She said, "Gary, where did you find this?" And I said, "I found it in a NASA photo beside the Great Pyramid." She goes, "Would you send me the photo?" I said, "Sure." But as you know, Tim, most times if you ever talk about the Great Pyramid, people think you're nuts, especially if you find lettering. Now, this lettering is almost as big as the pyramid. That's how big it is, and it can only be seen from the sky. Hmm. Okay, so yeah, it's amazing. So what happens is she gets it, and she emails me right back. She goes, "Oh, my God." She says, "Gary, I see this, and it is writing, but I don't know what it says." She said, "Please, give me some time." And I emailed her back, and I said, "Do you think it's shadows?" She goes, "There's no buildings on that area other than a museum where they have a pharaoh's boat, where they discovered a boat of the pharaoh."
Okay.
And she said, "But there are no buildings there that would cause these shadows to appear." And she said, "Gary, if you notice, a couple of the shadows, the letters, are going up onto the Great Pyramid." And I said, "It's amazing, isn't it?" She said, "Give me a little time. I'm going to work on this." I said, "Fantastic. Thank you." The other Judaic scholars and Aramaic scholars, they emailed me back, and they said, "Gary," like one said, "I see an I and an M." When I say I, like an I and an M, A-M. Mm-hmm. And one said, "Gary, I see a God or creator." And they said, "But we really can't make it out," because they all said, "We've really never seen a language like this." And I said, "This is fantastic." But what happened was, Tim, like I said, they were all kind of throwing darts around. No one could actually translate it perfectly. So next to not too far from those letters, and also I got to tell your listeners that on your website, they'll be able to download and see, or they can go to your website and see the letters I'm talking about. Okay. And the position they are on the Great Pyramid. So anyway, so I found some ancient Hebrew written not too far from the pyramids. And I said, "Oh my God, that looks like that." And like I said, I zoomed in. Can I backtrack 1 second?
Sure, then? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I forgot to tell your listeners, when you go to the NASA website, when you put in those letters and numbers I gave you, what will pop up? It will say NASA. When you click on that number, the file number, will be NASA Pyramids at Giza, Egypt. You click on that, and then the NASA photo will pop up. You have to go to the right side of the photo, scroll down to where it says download image. And then I want you to click on full size. You have to click on full size, or you won't be able to zoom in onto the Great Pyramid or anywhere where I'm going to be describing to you. Okay, does that make sense, Tim?
Yep, makes sense.
That makes sense? Okay.
Yep.
So anyway, so I find this ancient Hebrew. And I knew it was Hebrew because I'm from, you know, I've seen movies and everything. So I said, oh my God, that's Hebrew. But it was the kind of Hebrew I didn't know what it meant. So I emailed it down to a Judaic scholar at the University of Arizona. Now, this is all happening within a week or two of Richard Branson, giving me the AOK and Elon Musk and Gwyneth Shotwell. Mm-hmm. So I find this ancient Hebrew. I write it down and I send it to one of the same guys at the University of Arizona. His name is Dr. Edward Wright, and he's a Judaic scholar. He's worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls. A brilliant guy. Well, I send it to him and I said, Dr. Wright, can you tell me what this means? And he emails me back. He says, yes. He says, that says God and the Lord of the Underworld. And I said, oh my, he goes, where did you find this? I said, I found it in a NASA photo. And he said, can you come down to my office and show me where you found it? I said, absolutely. So I get in my car the next day. I drive down. It's only an hour and a half away. Yeah. I drive down to the University of Arizona. And like I said, please, if you have any questions, Tim, stop me because I'll go on and on.
Keep going. I'm listening. Yep.
Okay, cool. So what happens is I go down to the university and I show him exactly where on the NASA photo where it is, and he sees it and he says, Gary, that does say God and the Lord of the Underworld. He said, but I'm not going to believe this. And I said, well, why not? I said, it's amazing. He said, Gary, I can't believe it because why would this be in a NASA photo? He goes, I think you may have photoshopped this. And I said, Dr. Wright, if you go to the NASA website, you can pull up the photo yourself and you can look at it. I said, by the way, how many people know ancient Hebrew? He goes, well, not a lot. And he goes, and it's a shot in the dark that you wrote this and it's on this photo. I said, Dr. Wright, I didn't write it. I'm telling you, this is here. This is some kind of message. And then he asked me, he said, well, how did you get to see it? And then I told him the story about restoring the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. And he said, that's an awesome idea. I said, thank you. He goes, but Gary, listen, man. He goes, I have 10,000 students. I do 10,000 online. I don't have time for this. And I said, well, can you refer me to anybody? And he actually said, well, I got to ask you to leave. So anyway.
Why did he ask you to leave? You come across this huge discovery.
Now, you know what? Now, Tim, you got to remember, you and guys like David Schrader have open minds, okay? You have open minds. You guys are open to everything. Your listeners are open to everything. You go into these academic situations and I've met with scholars. I've met with biblical and Judaic scholars. I've met with rabbis and priests. I've met with ministers. Anyway, what happens is when I come into your office and I sit there and in a half hour or 20 minutes, I tell you like a tsunami of information, they're drowning. They're saying, Gary, this is impossible. Everything you tell me is just totally insane. I totally understand where they're coming from because these guys are, their whole lives has been structured. They've been in schools, they go to books, they look on the papyrus or a block of stone that they pick up and they see these things. They're not open for a message being in a NASA photo. Do you agree?
I would agree to a point, but see, there's also a point, Gary, where, I mean, I have two friends who are archaeologists and I know if you showed them that photo, they might salivate and say, you know what, that phrase alone would strike their curiosity to the point where they'd want to research it and they'd want to know why that phrase is there, why that says that. And they'd probably want to go down the same road that you took on this.
Right. Well, let me just say this. I also went to ASU, Arizona State University, and mm-hmm. I met with two computer science professors who actually can build software. These guys are geniuses. One was named Dr. Gupta. The other one was named Dr. Whitehouse. They saw the photo. Now, you got to know something. When you zoom in on this photo, Tim, and I'm jumping ahead of the story, okay. But the photo actually has four levels to it, Tim, four levels. And the best way to look at this photo is with a laptop computer, because what you have to do is you have to be in a dark room, you have to bring up the picture, download the picture, you have to zoom in, and you have to tilt it. Every inch or two that you tilt it, it changes levels. You'll see different colors, different, and at the bottom level is a bunch of words written in ancient Hebrew. And now after Dr. Wright kicked me out, and let me just say this, he's a great guy, he's really nice, he's really sweet, but he actually said to me, he goes, Gary, listen, man, I have a reputation to uphold. And he said, and I'm going to be retiring soon. I can't be involved in this. And I said, well, can you refer anybody? And like I said, he said, there's the door. So, but he said it in a nice way. He said it, and I had to laugh. But then I thought to myself, Like me, I'm so open to this stuff. If anybody came to me and showed me this, I'd say, I have to know everything. So anyway, okay, Tim, back to the story. Mm-hmm. So the guys up at ASU, they saw it, and they saw the letters, they saw everything, and they said, Gary, listen, man, we can't be involved with this. We have thousands of students, and we don't know if you did this. And Dr. Whitehouse actually said to me, the guy up at ASU, the professor at ASU, he goes, Gary, the only people who could do something like this to this photo would be NASA, because I couldn't do it. He said, and I build software. He said, I can't do this. This is amazing. I said, yeah. I said, thank you. And then he pretty much said, okay, you can leave now. So anyway, so believe me, for the past 2 years, I've been kicked out of more offices than you can possibly imagine. But anyway, what happened is, after I found the Hebrew writing and it said God and the Lord of the underworld, and the other translation actually says, the one next to the Great Pyramid, it says, I am who I am, creator of all things. That's what it says. That's a translation. So what happens is and I'm still getting ahead of myself, because I'm going to explain how that translation came about.
Okay.
So what happens is I said, well, you know what, there's Hebrew writing in here, and so maybe I should go talk with some rabbis. So I set up a meeting, and I go up and I meet. For the first meeting, I met with two rabbis, and the next meeting, I met with three rabbis, and they're all Orthodox. So they all know, but they really don't know ancient Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Like when they saw it, Dr. Wright's translation was perfect. And I know that for a fact now, but I'll explain that later. But these guys, they knew Hebrew, but not ancient Hebrew. So we're talking, and I'm showing them everything, and they said, Gary, listen. They said, beside the thing that says God and the Lord of the underworld, there's more Hebrew here. And I said, well, what does it say? They said, it's a date. It says July 26, 2022. I said, well, that's kind of weird, because the day that this photo was downloaded onto the internet from NASA was July 26, 2012. So that was only 10 years away. I discovered it, the photo, in 2015. Okay, so they said, yeah, it says July 26, 2022. They said, but Gary, we have a problem with this. I said, well, rabbis, what's the problem? Now, they all said this, even though I was in two different meetings with two the first time, three the next time. They all said, well, we all have a problem with this. I said, well, what's the problem? They said, well, we believe that only miracles can happen in Israel. And I laughed. Yeah. I said, guys, come on, that's a joke, right? And they go, no, we really believe that. And it can only be a Jewish person who can find these. So you kind of like have two strikes against you. And I said, well, guys, does it help on my mother's side of the family? Her great-great-grandparents were both Jewish. And they go, well, it doesn't really count. You know, you're not Jewish. I was actually, Tim, I was actually born and raised Episcopalian, mm-hmm. but I haven't been to a church or a temple or anything like that for 40 years.
Oh.
So I'm not the most religious guy in the world. Okay. So I thought, so both sets of rabbis said the exact same thing. They said, Gary, we see the letters, we see everything. And I said, well, this is a drag. So anyway, so what happens is that night, now, Tim, here's where the dream comes in.
Mm-hmm.
After all this happens, right, and I'm thinking, look, this is some kind of ancient alien thing where I can see these things and I can show people, but they refuse to see them. Even though they translate them, they refuse to believe it. And I said, okay. So that night, I'm asleep. Now, Tim, just know this. I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen an alien. I've never had any kind of paranormal experience ever in my life. So I'm asleep. And just know this too, Tim. When I sleep like a rock, like 7-8 hours straight. I don't even move. I lay completely still. And so I'm in bed. I fall asleep, and I have this dream. And in the dream, a man's voice comes. It sounds like in a tunnel, and it says, "Where did you come from? Where did you really come from?" And it said, and when it said that, it said, "Go to the river, face east, and ask that question." And I go, "What?" So, Tim, I usually wake up every morning around 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, when that happened, I woke up at 5:45 in the morning. I was covered in sweat, and I was shaking. And I said, "What's wrong with me?" Because I'm kind of healthy. And I all of a sudden I look up at my desk, and the computer, which was off, it pops on to the NASA photo. And I look at the photo, and I go, how the hell did that happen? So I said, this is so weird. So what I did was the next morning, I said, this is some kind of sign. I got to go down the river. Well, luckily for me, I live in a place called Santan Valley, Arizona. And it's not too far from a place called Florence, Arizona. And in Florence, there's the place called the Gila River. Now, most of it's dry. I don't know if you ever heard of the Gila River Indians, but, you know, they own a casino up here and all that kind of stuff. Okay. But they've been here for thousands of years. So in this one section in a small town of Florence, it's probably 300 or 400 yards off of the main road. There's a big, it's a river, but it puddles up, and it's like a huge lake area, but it's part of the river. But it's all dry up to that point. So I said, I'm going to go do this, man, because if this has to do with the Great Pyramid and the Hebrew writing and the alien writing that I found, I got to be part of this. So I get in my car. It's only like maybe a 3-mile drive. I go down to the river. I go to the riverbank. I take off my shoes and socks. And Tim, I messed up on what the guy told me to say in the in the dream. He actually told me to say this in Hebrew, which I didn't know Hebrew, but I called one of the rabbis, and they told me how to say it phonetically.
Okay.
So I go down to, I'm getting too excited. You can tell my voice, I talk way too
fast. That's okay.
Yeah, that's that Hollywood pitch man. And so what happens is I go to the river, I take off my shoes, I stand in the water just up to my ankles, and I face east like the voice told me, and I yell out these words in a mantra, and I say it really loud, and the mantra is Abba 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 Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh, where did you come from, where did you really come from? Now Abba 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 in Hebrew is Father Father Father, and Kadosh is Holy Holy Holy. So I say it three times really loud, And I have my hands up, and I yell it out, and I'm looking up to the east, I'm looking up to the sky, and I say it like for, let's say, 5 minutes. So instead of saying it just three times, I say it like six times. Well, nothing happens. So I come back home, I turn on the NASA photo, oh my God, Tim, I can see everything in this NASA photo. Now, when I say everything, what I'm going to say to your listeners is this. If you can, if you download the NASA photo onto your laptop or onto your computer, make the photo small, like 6 inches by 6 inches or 7 inches by seven inches, and put it in the middle of your screen. When you look at the photo, Tim, do you have it up or you can't see it?
Well, I have it in front of me. Yes, I do.
Okay, you do. Now, is it small? Can you see it?
Let me grab it here real quick. Yes, it is small.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, it's small. Okay, now on the right-hand side, you can see that kind of like goldish area. That's all the Giza Plateau. Can you see that?
Yep.
And almost down the center of the picture, you can see that's the Giza Plateau. On the left-hand side is Cairo. Mm-hmm. And you can see the Nile River. And then up above, it makes kind of like a cross. That is Ring Road. That's an 8-lane freeway that goes into Cairo.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Yep.
Okay, well, what I did, so when people can see it on your website, on the right-hand side of the photo, and I outlined it on the photo I sent you in red, that is the left profile of a huge alien. Not a gray alien, but an alien with a huge elongated head where his nose would be. His nostril would be the Great Pyramid. As you come down from there, you see a little lip, and you see his mouth. And then you see a round chin, and he has a real big, thick neck. Can you see it at all in the photo?
Yeah.
Okay, now, and think of Nefertiti. Remember the wife of Akhenaten?
Right, yep.
You know, the most beautiful woman's bust? Mm-hmm. Think of her, but with a thick neck. Think of a male version of her, but a little more alien-like, with her long, elongated head. So the whole right side of that photo is the left profile of an alien's face and neck. Can you see it at all?
I was going to say, yeah, I'm looking at the side-by-side of the map and the alien, and then... And seeing what you're saying with that. But the other thing I was going to mention, too, is when you mentioned – it's funny you mentioned Nefertiti, because when you bring up Nefertiti, the automatic, I think, image that comes to everyone's mind when you say the headdress.
Yes.
The headdress is long, elongated, much like the alien's head.
There you go.
It's the first one you think of. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, exactly. So, and if you can see, just to let your listeners know, when you look at where the Nile is and the Ring Road that comes up and then it goes down onto the Giza Plateau, it turns into a white wash. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that is the alien's head. Like, that's his whole head. That kind of like is cutting his head almost in half. And then you come down a little bit from there, and you see he has a bump where his eyebrows would be. And then you come down, there's a little point where his nose would be. And like I said, the Great Pyramid would be his nostril. Then it comes down, there's a little lip, and then there's his mouth, and it looks like buildings early, his teeth in a way. And then it comes down, there's a round chin, and then it comes down into the whole big, thick neck profile of an alien.
Yep.
And can you kind of see it?
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Okay, so what happens is I see that. I say, oh, my God, there's an alien there. So, what happened was after all this happened, I said, you know what? I should contact NASA, okay? So what I did was I Googled, and I noticed that in Northern California, there was and you could actually get the people's email address. I Googled a place called the Ames Research Center in Northern California. And the Ames Research Center, I think they're pretty much responsible for the robots up on Mars, okay?
Okay.
So what happened was right, and the president at that time of Ames Research Center was a guy by the name of Dr. Peter Warden, W-O-R-D-E-N. Mm-hmm. So what happens is I said, and it had his email address. So I emailed him. I said, Dr. Warden, and like just like emailing Elon Musk and Sir Richard Branson, I thought there's no way this guy's going to email me back. So I emailed him. I said, I made a discovery in the Giza Plateau. It has to do with the Great Pyramid. It has to do with aliens. Please allow me to send you the photo. Now, I figure they get at least 10,000 of these emails a day, okay? So no exaggeration, Tim. 10 minutes after I sent the email, Dr. Warden emailed me back. He said, Gary, send me the photo. And believe me, I saved all this information.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, email me the photo. I emailed him the photo, and when I emailed him, I said, please be in a dark room. Please use a laptop computer, and you're going to have to tilt it. But email me back if you can't see the letters, the aliens. And I actually outlined the alien for him like I did for you guys.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he maybe 15, 20 minutes. No, I'm sorry. The next morning, he emails me back, and he goes, Gary, I'm having a hard time seeing it. And I email him back, and I said, are you in a dark room? Do you have a laptop computer? He said, yes. I said, call me. So he calls me. This guy who runs the Ames Research Center, Dr. Peter Warden, he calls me. He goes, Gary, tell me how to do it. So I tell him how to do it. I'm telling him over the phone like I'm telling your listeners. He says, I see it. I said, okay, now that you see the alien's face, I want you to go to the Great Pyramid. He zooms in on the Great Pyramid. He goes, I see the letters. I said, now here's where the Hebrew, ancient Hebrew is. I show him that. I show him three or four more things. He says to me, Gary, let me get back to you in a few weeks. I got to talk to some people. Okay, Tim, 3 weeks after he asked me that he would get back to me, he retires from NASA, right? Mm-hmm. He retires from NASA. He gets together with Stephen Hawking, the famous physicist, and they and a Russian billionaire gives them $100 million to find extraterrestrials, and he cut off all contact with me.
Really?
Dude, it's amazing. Isn't that insane?
Gary, let's stop right there because we have to take our break. That's a very interesting point to stop right there, and I want to find out.
Dude, I'm brilliant. Come on.
That's when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. That is bizarre.
I know.
Wow. We're talking to Gary Parker, our guest, and we're talking a little bit about his efforts to I'm still blown away by that, to restore the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx and what he found while he was doing that. And believe it or not, he found some secrets in Hebrew that may have led to more secrets that led to aliens. And we're putting all the pieces together with Gary this evening on Beyond the Darkness. Stay tuned. More High Strangeness comes up next here on Beyond the Darkness.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from
beyond the darkness.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, and a fascinating story tonight. Gary Parker's our guest, and we're talking about his initial efforts to... Wow, I'm still wrapping my head around this, Gary. Your initial effort to restore the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, which you discovered these letters, or this writing, this Hebrew writing, which eventually led you to this entire journey in which you run into Richard Branson, Elon Musk, to get funding.
Tim, just to make it clear, I don't know the guys. I never talked to them. We just emailed.
You just email back and forth. Yes. In that, you've run into many different specialists, scientists, trying to get a handle on what this writing was on the side of the Great Pyramid. And now you're into an area where you're discovering that aliens are involved.
Absolutely.
And pick up when we left for the break, you had told us something amazing. And recap for the folks what exactly you had said. You had talked to this specialist who essentially you talked to him and you had said what?
You mean from NASA?
Yes.
Oh yeah. He was his name is Dr. Peter Warden, and he was the president / director of the Ames Research Center.
And this is the guy who really could hit it home for you.
Well, I figured this guy could really help out if he could see these things. Because as you know, talking over the phone, it's tough. But I figured, you know what, he's going to be able to see them because I outlined everything and I pretty much showed him. Yeah, over the phone, I was telling him how to find them in the dark room with a laptop. And he says to me, he goes, I see them. He goes, I see it. And I said, great, that's fantastic. And I said, where should we go next? He said, let me get back to you. Give me a little time. I'll get back to you. I said, fantastic. So 3 weeks later, he retires from NASA. He gets together with Stephen Hawking, the physicist, and they go to a Russian billionaire. He gives them $100 million to find ETs. So I figure, hey, I'm kicked out of that circle. But that's okay. You know, I had a feeling as soon as I heard he had retired, I said, my God, he cut off his email from me. Whenever I tried to email him again, it said, you know, you're not allowed to email me. So anyway.
Now, Gary, it seems like you're on the precipice of finding some really strange connection, even alien connection, and he's been essentially hired by a billionaire to find this stuff. Why wouldn't you be his first source?
Well, you know, probably because he doesn't want to cut me in on the deal.
I mean,
he might be greedy, you know, and maybe Stephen Hawking is greedy. I don't know. Okay. And maybe it's because I'm some hack screenwriter from Hollywood / a real estate developer, and they think, who the hell is this guy? Well, Tim, believe me, I'm going to explain who I am and how more crazy this whole story gets.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so anyway, so after that happened, I was a little bummed out. But I thought, okay, well, that's typical, you know, bureaucrat. You know, he wants the big dollar, the Bay Day, and he wants all the accolades. So, okay, great. So, but what happens is he's never been down to the river. So after I have the first dream, and the voice says to me, go down the river and say these things in Hebrew, every once in a while, like every 3 or 4 days later, the same, I don't have the dream, it just says, a voice says, go to the river in my dream. Just that, go to the river. So I go down to the river and I do my whole spiel. I say the spiel and then I yell up and I go, hey, I go, how can I help? Show me more. If there's any way I can help, let me know because I'm gung ho. I'm your man. I'm your boy. So I come back and I see more and more in the photo and I could actually show, but it's hard, like I said, to describe how to see everything in the NASA photo. Over the phone, but
I gotta ask you this real quick, Gary. The first time you're told to go to the river, you got to feel a little crazy. This has got to be a little bit like the scene in Close Encounters with the mashed potatoes. I mean,
yeah.
Do you feel like you're just, or even the Devil's Tower scene? Do you feel like, you know what? This seems like a little odd to me that I should be even going to a river, that I should be doing anything, that I should be yelling anything,
right?
And especially, I don't know how to tell you this, Gary, but to most normal people, if you were to yell Abba, Abba, Abba out loud, people would think you'd get really shitty disco records thrown at you.
That's really funny. But yeah, that is funny. Not really. But it is kind of funny.
I'm just saying.
But what happens is if I was in Israel, mm-hmm. they'd all be applauding me. But I'm not. I'm in Santane Valley, Arizona.
Right, exactly.
Florence, Arizona.
Here's what I was getting to. How did you know it was that river in that area of your town? How did you figure out that you didn't have to travel anywhere to do this, that you could do it in your own backyard?
It was the only river here. So I figure, you know, but let me just backtrack one thing that happened to me that made, because you're right. If you think about this, a lot has happened to me in a short period of time, like in crazy things. Mm-hmm. But what happened was now this is, I'm going to explain to you how I think I was connected to this. Okay. And I didn't tell you this before because your listeners would probably say, Gary, this is just too crazy. This just doesn't happen. And they're right. And you're right. What happened was 10 minutes before I was born. 10 minutes before I was born, my mother back in the late '50s. Mm-hmm. My mother passed out, and just know this: she has told me the story ever since I can remember, from 4 years old up to 59 years old. Okay, so she has always told me this story every year on my birthday. She said, Gary, she said, when 10 minutes before you were born, she says, I found myself in a real dark place. I don't know where I was, but it was completely dark. And a voice came from a tunnel, and it said to me, it was a man's voice, and it was terrifying. And it said, where did you come from? Where did you really come from? That's what it said to her. So every year of my life, on my birthday, she's always told me that story. She said, Gary, that means something. So Tim, when I had that dream and that voice said, go to the river and say these words, and then it said, where did you come from? Where did you really come from? I said, holy hell, this is how I'm connected. Hmm. This was some kind of message from that long ago. But for some reason, my mother had told me that story every one of my birthdays. And she said, don't forget, this means something. And as a kid, I said, this is a crazy lady. It was probably some doctor. But she said, when she had passed out, it was probably somebody in the operating room. And she said that she was so terrified it took her months to get over it because she couldn't believe that voice had come to her. So anyway, so that was my connection. That was my only paranormal experience. And I wasn't even born yet. So she went through it. I didn't. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
No, it's very interesting. And now there's one thought that does come to mind, though, in that if you'd been told that story over and over again, now, again, a dream analyst or a psychologist may say to you, well, if your mother had planted that seed in your subconscious, don't you think your brain could have brought that forward into the dream at the time you were having it?
Yes, but I also think it was planted there so I wouldn't be afraid.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just my opinion.
Right. That's a good opinion to have. Yeah.
Yes. So, and plus, I'm not a fearful guy anyway. This kind of stuff, I'm so excited about all this stuff. So what happens was, so over a period of a year and a half, I had been down to the river since almost 2 years. Now, let's say year and 8-9 months. I had been to the river between 40 and 45 times. Every time I come back, I see him more and more in the photo. And so what happens, though, in between the 36th and 38th time, and I usually make a note of how many times I've been down to the river. It was either 36 or 38, I can't remember. But the alien who I showed you, and as a matter of fact, if your listeners can go to your website, you'll see a drawing of the alien. On the 36th or 38th time, I showed up at the river, and also I've had friends come down. They filmed me to see if anything pops up or anything like that. At this time, there was nobody. So what happens when I show up? I do the Abba, 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 Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Where did you come from? Where do you really come from? And then I ask questions. Well, all of a sudden, I see in the middle of the sky, as I'm looking to the east, I see something. It almost looks like crystals in the middle of the sky, almost like the sky is like cracking open in a way. And all of a sudden, some kind of like bright light comes over, and it goes over the river, over in this big body of water. It's huge. I mean, it's like a big lake. And I'm standing up and said, oh my God, it's finally showing up. So I'm going to get some answers. So all of a sudden, there was kind of a platform of crystals. It's like it comes out of this crack and it forms a platform of crystals. And below this platform of crystals are these two angels. Now, well, I'm calling them angels, but they're called cherubims. And can you hear me okay? I hear some interference.
No. Are you okay? You're fine. You're fine.
So anyway, so I see these two angels and they're below this platform. And I don't know if you're familiar with a guy named Ezekiel. Did you ever hear of this prophet Ezekiel?
Sure, yep.
With the spinning wheels and all that kind of stuff.
With the wheel in the air, yeah.
Exactly. Well, mm-hmm. That's what it was. But there wasn't four of them. There was only two of these angels. But I recognized one of the angels from the NASA photo. As you zoom in, I could actually show them to you, but it's hard to do over the phone. So, and actually I had one of the rabbis translate the Hebrew written under this face that's in the photo, and it said Uriel. That was the translation. Uriel, who actually is a cherubim that is on the left side of the Garden of Eden that actually stops people from going in and out. And I recognized him, and I said, and to tell you the truth, and since I've been down the river so many times and all this stuff has been happening, it was exciting for me. The only thing was I was hoping somebody would come by so they could see it, but I'm in the middle of the desert. There's like nothing there other than this big body of water. So I say to him, I go, you're Uriel. And he actually had the four faces. On his left side was a lion. On his right side it wasn't an eagle. It actually was a raven. And then he had kind of like a bull or an ogre look on the top, and he looked human in the front. And I knew exactly who he was. I didn't know who the other angel was. But they had the spinning wheels and everything. And like I said, above them was this platform of crystals. And on top of the crystals was this huge alien that I showed you the profile, and I have the drawing that I made of it. And he's standing on top. It wasn't a throne, and I could see his face as plain as day. But his face, even though he looked alien, he had a huge head, and he was huge. He was like 30 feet tall, and the two cherubims were probably between 18 and 20 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, as I'm looking at this, Tim, it looks like almost like a projection, almost like a hologram. Like I could put my hand through it, but it was too far above the water for me to reach. So it was probably 20, 30 yards away from me. So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like a projection coming from somewhere. And there's that alien. And I'm just freaking out. When I say freaking out, I'm like loving it. I'm going, and I have like a million questions. And I'm asking a bunch of questions. All of a sudden, I hear to my right. Now remember, you're out in the desert. A lot of kids ride their motorcycles and their ATVs all over the desert. So some kid has come over to the bank on a motorcycle because you hear nee 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 like that. So I turn away from this vision because I want someone to see it. And I look at this kid, and he says, "Hey, mister, what are you doing in that water? It's disgusting." Well, it is. The water there is just—it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Kid, can you see that?" And I pointed to the whole vision there. And he goes, "See what?" The big guy on top, the big alien who I call Abba, which is Father, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "Gary, he can't see us." And the kid says, "I can't see anything." And I said, "Dude, don't worry about it." I said, my feet were hot and I'm standing in the water. He goes, "Don't stand there too long. It's disgusting." I said, "Thanks." He takes off. He couldn't see anything. So what happens is I'm standing there, and here's this whole like Ezekiel deal going on. And the big alien, when I'm looking at him, like I said, he's huge, and he has huge arms and huge shoulders, and I can't see his feet because his feet are kind of like melted into the platform that is crystal. But he's wearing kind of like a reddish robe, and he's wearing a breastplate that has like it's like bright gems on him, right? I don't know if you're familiar with Raiders of the Lost Ark or the Temple and the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever the Jewish priest had to go into the ancient priest, they had to wear a thing called a hosen, I think it's called, H-O-S-E-N. And it was a breastplate, and it would light up certain colors for them that it was all right for them to enter. So, which actually the ancient aliens said that had to do with radiation at the time. But anyway, so do you have any questions?
No, keep going. I'm listening. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, so I can see this alien's face, but inside his face, it's made up of between 50 and 60 biblical looking characters, men and women, and they're all kind of circling his face, and they're all talking, and some of them were talking in Hebrew, but it sounded like an Aramaic, that type of language. I don't know if it was Aramaic, because I don't know what language Jesus spoke, mm-hmm. But all of them look like ancient biblical characters, and they all made up his face. And even though the angel Uriel, he spoke with me with his mouth, and let me just say this too, like the Ezekiel account, they all look like burned brass. They were like burned brass. That's why it was like you couldn't touch them. It's like your hand would go right through them, like a projection. And so the big guy, the Abba, the guy with the big alien, which I drew for you, he starts telling me things. He starts telling me, and I actually, me, I have like As you can tell, I talk a lot. So even when he shows up, I start talking. I go, oh, my God, where do you come from? Where, you know, what is it? And he's actually saying to me, but he's saying it kind of telepathically. I can hear his voice in my head, and it almost sounds like my own voice. And he says, just calm down. He goes, I'm going to answer all your questions. And he says, but there's things you have to do first. And all the answers are in the NASA photo. And I said, tell me one thing. Where do you come from? He said, we originate from the constellation of Cygnus. And it's in the NASA photo. Now, what's cool, Tim, is that if you look at the NASA photo, and if you look at the alien's profile, the left profile, he's looking at the Nile River. He's looking at the Nile River and where Ring Road crosses. Well, that makes a cross. The Northern Cross is the constellation of Cygnus. What the alien's profile is looking at is the constellation of Cygnus. What you can do is, so where Ring Road crosses with the Nile River is the constellation of Cygnus. If you're on a laptop computer and you tilt it, you will notice that all the lights from Cairo, which is on the left-hand side, will disappear, and there will be three lights from the constellation of Cygnus. Now, I've taken this to three astronomers here in Arizona. They all refuse to believe it. They said, Gary, this is impossible. I've heard that so many times. So anyway, so for your listeners, have them know that, I said, which planet in the constellation of Cygnus are you from? And he said, Sader, S-A-D-R. So I think maybe in one of your photos, I actually circled it and I wrote Sader on it. I don't know if you have it there.
Yep.
But it should be on your website.
Yep.
So anyway, and he starts telling me all these things, and he says, I said, when are you coming back? Are you coming back? Is this what this means? And he said, we're coming back on the date the rabbi told you. Well, the rabbi, one of the rabbis who found the date in the NASA photo was July 26, 2022. And I know that because of all this happening to me, I know a little bit about eschatology as far as what the Jews believe, you know, Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said to him, I said, will they have to build the third temple? Are you familiar with this?
No, go ahead and tell me what that is.
Just real quick. King David, you know, David and Goliath.
Right.
Yeah, King David, king of the Jews, he had a son named Solomon. Solomon built the first temple.
Right.
The first temple is where they housed the Ark of the Covenant. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's in Israel. It's on the Temple Mount,
mm-hmm.
The Babylonians came in and knocked it down, and they put all the Jews in exile, and 400 or 500 years later, I can't remember the king's name, but they rebuilt the second temple. Okay, they put the Ark of the Covenant back in and all that kind of good stuff. But then 70 years after Christ was crucified, the temple was knocked down by the Romans. Ever since then, the Jews, when you see them, the Jewish people, especially the rabbis and the Orthodox people, and regular people, you can see them when you see pictures of Israel. They're davening or praying up against the West Wall. That's the Temple Mount. You know, are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay, so what happens is what they pray three times a day, and they always ask for the same thing. They ask for the Messiah to return and for the temple to be rebuilt, the third temple. So the first two were knocked down. So the alien, Abba, because I asked him, what should I call you? He said, call me Abba. I said, so Abba says to me, which means father, he said, Gary, I will be returning in the third temple. So I said, so you're going to be coming down in the third temple like a UFO, right? And he says, yes. Well, the cool thing is this. There are two famous sages from the 1500s in Judaism. One is called the Rambam, and I can't pronounce his name real good. It's Maimonides, and the other one was named Rashi. And whenever the Jews interpret the Tanakh or the Torah, they are always told that they have to reference the Rambam or Rashi. Those guys were the biggest geniuses in the world. Well, the Rambam, who's Maimonides, that's his shorter name, he said that mankind, or the Jews, have to rebuild the third temple. Rashi says that the third temple will come down from the sky and land on the Temple Mount that it's already built. Well, that's what this alien told me. He said, Gary, I'll be returning in the third temple. I said, that's awesome. He said, and I said, well, why? Why don't you want him to build it? And he said, because I don't want any of my children being killed. He knows that, you know, the Palestinians and the Muslims run the Temple Mount. You know, they have the Dome of the Rock up there, you know, the with the gold dome, mm-hmm. You're right? Mm-hmm. So he says, I don't want anybody being hurt. I'm returning on July 26, 2022. And do you have any questions? I feel like I'm talking.
No. I'm listening. I'm getting the full gist of the story here.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. So I apologize, man.
No, you're fine.
So what happens is he said, Gary, show everybody the NASA photo and tell them what's in here. Now, like I was telling you, in this photo are four levels, and there's millions and millions of images, and there's so much writing. But the cool thing is this, is right where the Nile River intersects with the Ring Road. And if you go, and just know this, when you're looking at the photo, it was actually downloaded upside down. So south is up, and north is down. To the right is west, to the left is east, okay? If you follow Ring Road, and then it intersects, as you're going east, which is left, you go east, and you follow Ring Road across the Nile River, and you go down onto the Giza Plateau, you'll see a white wash. Can you see that, Tim?
Yes,
there's a white wash that goes down the hole from the east to the west, okay? If you zoom in on that area, and you got to zoom in a lot, above that white wash, you will see, as you zoom in real close, you will see a river, and it's blue. But you got to tilt your screen, you got to tilt your laptop computer, and along that river, you will find the Garden of Eden. Now, I know that sounds insane, but it's there. What I did was I went and I showed this, the Garden of Eden, to a reporter here in Florence. He was actually a reporter at a small newspaper called the Florence Reminder. If you Google Gary Parker and the New Garden of Eden, you will read the article, okay? So when you read the article, you'll be able to find the Garden of Eden that runs along that white wash, and it's just above that white wash. But also on the article, you'll be able to see I left my email address, one of my email addresses, where you can contact me if people want me to send them photos or they want me to send them instructions. So, yes, so it actually Google Gary Parker and the New Garden of Eden, and you'll be able to read what the reporter saw. Now, so, yes, it's amazing, and it blew him away, too. So, and the article is a couple of years old. So, any questions?
Nope. I'm kind of taking this all in.
It's a lot. I know. It's a ton.
It's kind of like getting hit by the fire hose here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, if people say to me, well, Gary, what is it? Is it religious? Is it aliens? It's both. You might say to me, well, Gary, how did all these images get on this photo? Go ahead and say that, Tim.
How did these images get on this photo, Gary?
I know, right? So that's funny. So what happens is now you guys got to remember, the alien told me this stuff. You know, when I met him in kind of the Ezekiel whole deal, the whole vision thing. What it is, the Great Pyramid, everything begins, everything ends, and everything will begin again with the Giza Plateau and the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid is a machine. It never stops, and it works on vibrations. What happens is when I found all these images, I said, I wonder how these images ended up on this one photo at 2012. Because what I did is I went to 2013, and you can't see the images anymore. What happened was I went back to 1999. I pulled up all the satellite images, not only from NASA, but also from the Egyptian Road Department has a satellite. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up the images from 1999 up until July 26, 2012. So I pulled them all up, and I noticed that the letters that are written beside the Great Pyramid, they started off way at the top of the alien's head, way at the top of the picture. As time went on, 6 months at a time, the letters kept getting closer, closer, and closer. And on July 26, 2012, they were right beside the Great Pyramid. So if it was like an old cartoon where if you flicked them real fast, all the pictures,
okay,
you would see it was being built. And it was being built by vibrations. All the levels were. So what happens is, and I actually asked the alien, Abba, I said, well, how can I prove to people that the now, you got to remember, all these images and stuff he's given me, they're just coming in my head as he's talking, subliminally. So I asked him, I said, how can I show the public, how can I show the world that the Great Pyramid is a machine and it's still running? Okay, here's what he told me. Now, when I said he told me, not only told me, but he showed me. There was a National Geographic's video from 2002. It was called Into the Great Pyramid. On that video there was a guy named Dr. Zahi Awas. You've heard of him, right?
Yes, yeah, the head of the Antiquities Department, or former head.
Well, he used to be, exactly.
Yeah, former head.
Well, what happened was he got together with National Geographic and a bunch of archaeologists, and they sent a robot up the Queen's Chamber,
South Wall?
You know, it's 8x8. No. The southern shaft of the Queen's Chamber. They sent, and it's 8x8 inches, and mm-hmm. they sent a small robot up this shaft, 220 feet. Have you ever seen this special?
To be honest with you, no. I don't remember. If I did, I don't remember it.
Okay, well, it was huge. And what they did was they found 220 feet up. They found, and actually the first guy to find it was an engineer named Rudolf Gattenbrinks. And they actually found a block 220 feet up, and on the block was copper fittings. Well, the problem with that, Tim, was copper hadn't been invented till 1,500 years after the pyramids had been built. So they said, how did copper get into the Great Pyramid? So what they did was they sent sonar up the shaft, and they realized that the block that the copper fittings were on was only 4 inches thick. So what they decided to do is they were going to drill a hole and put a fiber optic camera into the hole and see what was on the other side where the copper fittings were, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, am I making sense?
Yep, you're making sense.
So what they did was National Geographic, Zahi Awas, and the host was named Laura Green, real pretty archaeologist or host. Anyway, what happens is they sent the robot up there, they drilled a hole into this thing. They put a fiber optic camera into the hole. What they see is on the back end, 7 inches away from this block, from the first limestone block with the copper fittings, is another block. And it's just a block. Well, on the block, the problem is now remember, this is the Abba, the alien, telling me this. On the block, when they put the camera in there, the light was too bright. It was way too bright. And what happens is you hear the lady, Laura Green, the host of the show, she says to Zahi Awas, she says, What are those black marks on the wall back there, on the back wall? And he says, they're just cracks. Well, when I first saw it, I thought to myself, how the hell does he know they're cracks? No one has seen that for 6,000 years. So, and she says, well, are you sure they're cracks? And he gets angry, Zahi Awas, and he goes, yeah, they're just cracks. Well, to tell you the truth, they're not cracks. They're actually a binary code, which I actually showed to the ASU professors. Now, what happens is that binary code is forming a picture. When the fiber optic camera took a bunch of pictures, that was in 2002. Mm-hmm. They were not shown to the public until 2011. Okay, what they said was they showed these pictures, and they showed one, and the experts said that they were numbers, that these photos represented numbers. One was a number 20, one was 100, one was 1. Well, Abba told me they weren't. What they were was a picture, especially under the number 20, in that if people get it on their laptop computer, and actually I drew a picture of it, and hopefully you have it on your website. It's under the number 20, it's actually three people sitting in a crystal throne that's flying over a crystal city of pyramids. And what it is, and then remember, this is Abba telling me this, okay? And actually, I drew a picture of it because after I downloaded it, I saw it. I could see everything. It's actually three people. And one is a real tall, he's a real tall guy. They're black. They're three black people. Mm-hmm. It's a man, it's a woman, and a child. And the man is real tall. He's about 8 feet tall. Even though he's sitting, you can tell. He's wearing a mitre hat, like the Pope wears. It has a huge crystal on the top, and has a small crystal up by his forehead. He has his son sitting on his right shoulder. He has his right arm around his father's neck, and the kid is wearing a small mitre hat or a Pope hat with a small crystal on the front, and the man has his right arm around a beautiful woman who's sitting, and she's facing us in the picture, and I actually have it drawn there, and she's reaching out her right hand up to us, like beckoning it to us, and Abba told me that those three people are Ptah, Sekhmet, and Nefertem, and Ptah and Sekhmet are the creator gods from ancient Egypt. And that's who they are. And he told me that's who they are, and he said, Gary, you have to draw this picture. Well, I'm no great artist, but I think I did a pretty good job if you look at the photo. So if your listeners can look at the photo that was taken by National Geographic in 2002 and released in 2011, and they compare and they have to be in a dark room, they have to look at it, make it big, make it small, use a magnifying glass, they will see three people sitting in a crystal throne flying over a whole city of crystal pyramids. Does that blow you away or what?
Yeah, I'm looking at the comparison right now between the photo and the drawing.
It's hard to see. If you're looking at it flat, it's really hard, Tim.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you go home tonight and you look at it and you make it small, you make it big, you play with it, because I think it was purposely blurred.
Okay.
Because Abba told me, he said, Gary, he said, you're going to have an uphill battle here. And I said to him, I said, am I the only one doing this? And he said, no. He said, do you remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
Okay. Do you remember they sent messages to a bunch of people, but a lot of people didn't make the connection?
Right.
I made the connection. At least I'm one of them. So anyway, so there you go. So now lastly, one last thing. Mm-hmm. I said to the alien, I said to him, I said, since this all ties in to Judaism and to the Third Temple and to prophecy and to a Jewish eschatology. I said, in the Torah, it says that now get ready for this, Tim. This will blow you away.
Okay.
I said to him, I said, Elijah is supposed to come back. You've ever heard of Elijah?
Yes.
Okay. He was a prophet. And I said, it's like either Moses or Enoch or Elijah is going to come back. I said, can you tell me who, because I know it's not me. I said, I'm your boy. I'm your messenger boy. I don't know who I am. I said, but can you tell me who Elijah is? And he said, yes. And he gives me this name. And get ready for this, Tim.
All right.
He says, Elijah is Dr. Christina Hayes. And I'm thinking, who the hell is Dr. Christina Hayes?
Mm-hmm.
So I come home after that, and I'm walking on cloud nine because I'm thinking, oh, my God, I just saw an alien. I can prove to people that he's in this NASA photo. I can show them the Garden of Eden. I can show them everything. And I also know who Elijah is, the reincarnation of Elijah. So I come back, and I Google this lady. She runs the religious department at Yale. So I'm going like, oh, my God, how am I going to tell this lady she's the reincarnation of Elijah? And I heard it from an alien that was 30 feet tall standing above water. Now, come on. It's impossible. But I figure this Abba told me to do it. I have to do it.
Uh-huh.
I email her and I say, Dr. Hayes, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to bother you. Please know that I discovered this, and I hope you'll take a look at it. And I sent her the picture, and she emailed me back. She says, well, Gary, what does this have to do with me? I don't, you know, what's NASA? And I said, Tim, I actually laid it out. I go, you're the reincarnation. You're the reincarnation of Elijah. Click. So there you go. It's like, so I'm hoping because you and Dave Schrader, mm-hmm. and all your listeners, you guys have an open mind. I'm hoping eventually I can get her to look at this and we can all see it together and we all won't freak out when it shows up in Israel. And the people in Israel will say, this is the most awesome thing that happened. And I can get Dr. Christina Hayes down to the river with me yelling up, and then she can, it will open her mind. I don't think she'll ever do it, but I can't stop. You know what I'm saying?
I know you can't stop, Gary, but man, that's a tall order.
Dude, tell me, are you crazy? But then again, remember, a day after I emailed Sir Richard Branson and Elon Musk and Gwyneth Shotwell and the guy at NASA, I get it right back. So I think I'm on the right track. I can't give up. I'm never going to stop. Because my thing is that actually ABBA, the alien, told me, he said, Gary, it's your responsibility so that when we show up that the world knows this and nobody hurts themselves or other people. I said, I got you. So I think I'm responsible that no one commits suicide or goes nuts or has a heart attack. Now, I know I can't prevent the whole world, but I'll do my best, Tim. I'll do my best. So there you go.
All right, so now I'm going to throw a couple of different questions at you here, Gary.
Go ahead,
I wanted you to flesh this out, and I wanted to find out how certain things fall into this entire journey that you've been into.
Sure.
One of the things when I was going through the photos before we talked was the translation of God in the Underworld or Lord of the Underworld. And when I saw Lord of the Underworld, the thing that kept hitting me was Hades. Does Hades fit into this picture at all?
Absolutely. It's right in the photo. I don't tell a lot of people about that because when I showed it to five priests, okay?
Okay.
Five priests. Two of them started crying and they actually cried and they said, "Gary, this is the end of the world." But, and I said, "What's the but?" They said, "But this is not in the New Testament, so I don't have to believe it." That's what all four out of five told me that. Two as they were crying. Okay, so I said, "Guys, that's the weirdest thing I ever heard." I said, you all say your prayers wanting to see God. You want, and Jesus is in here. He's in here too with the alien.
That's
and
what I was, like, that was my second question. But go ahead with the first one with Hades.
Yeah. So Hades is right next. As a matter of fact, you know the river that runs through hell is called the Styx. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is when you look at the photo and Ring Road runs all the way through, well, what happens is the river stops at about right where there's a big lump. There's a big lump in the just as the lump starts to go down, the river turns from blue to red, and that's the river Styx. So, yes, Hades is four times the size of the Garden of Eden. So, yes, and it's on the right-hand side. But I don't want people to freak out because, like I said, I have grown men crying. You know, saying, "Gary, this is the end of the world." And I want your listeners to know it's not the end of the world. It's going to be the end of the world as we know it. So apocalypse, the definition for apocalypse is unfolding, uncovering information. And this photo is uncovering all that information. So what's your next question?
So you kind of alluded to it, and that is, how does Jesus fit into this whole thing?
Yes, Jesus is in here. And I can show you exactly where it is. Like if we were sitting together, I can show it to you and you say, "Oh my God, it is there." It's the whole story of man's origins and everything. Jesus is a big deal. He's actually in here in three places. Number one, he's on a cross, but he's not nailed to a cross. He's tied to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in the photo, just like, remember I told you that God has, I called him God, Abba has like, he has all human faces. He's made up of like all these human faces.
Right.
Like 60 of them. There are 50 to 60 of them, men and women.
Yep.
Well, Jesus, in his face, he has like seven people. He has like, and I'm going to say that he has like seven souls, whereas Abba has like thousands of souls. So what happens is like I said, Jesus is in here in three places. In the Garden of Eden, have you ever heard, you've heard about the Garden of Eden where when God kicked out Adam and Eve, he put a flaming sword.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that, right?
Yep.
In front of the tree of life. Well, what happens in the photo, Jesus is the flaming sword. On his left side of his face, it's on fire. His right side, he looks like Jesus. On the left side, he's on fire, but he is lighting the way to the tree of life, to God, and to what's written on the Lamb. Okay, which is written on the Lamb, which is in God. Which is in God. God is actually sitting in between. God is actually sitting. I'm sorry, dude. I'm turning this whole thing from an alien thing into a religious thing. But they're the same thing.
That's okay.
But yeah. In between the tree of life, and actually her name is Asherah. In between Asherah sitting on the bank of the river is God. He's got a bunch of faces. God in his left hand, he's holding a lamb. Written on the lamb are the words in ancient Hebrew, God and the Lord of the Underworld. It's written on a lamb in his left hand. Above him, right beside God on his right side are two elephants. There are two elephants on his right side, and he's bigger than the elephants. So, and above the elephants is Jesus, and He's, like I said, half of his face is on fire, his left side's on fire, and he is lighting the way to the tree of life, to God, and to what's written on the Lamb. And like I said, what's written on the Lamb is God and the Lord of the underworld. You may not know this, but Satan, or the Lord of the underworld, it's not like a devil-type guy.
Right.
He's actually works with God. Everybody works for God. In the photo, it shows that everybody works for the guy who I met at the river, who is Abba. So yes. So he's there. I could show it to you, and you would see it. Tim, you would say, Gary, I see it. But and I'm like the messenger boy, like I said. So I could show everybody. I could show you the Garden of Eden. And let me just say this. It's amazing. It's just phenomenal. And like I said, on both sides, like I said, Ring Road, as it goes through, on both sides of Ring Road is the Tree of Life. And actually, Enoch, I don't know if you ever heard of Enoch. Enoch was the guy, he was a great-grandfather of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to heaven, he wrote this all in the book of Enoch, that he could see 10 heavens. Well, they weren't 10 heavens, Tim. They were 10, what are they called? Dimensions. They were 10 dimensions. And as you tilt the picture, when you're looking at it on a laptop, it changes dimensions. So what this is, it's a multidimensional beings. These are like fifth dimensional beings, and this photo is a fifth dimensional photo. And the way you can see it is by zooming in, zooming out, enlarging it, and tilting it, and being in a dark room, and the image will pop out at you. Now, naturally, I've been looking at this photo for 4 hours a day for the last 2.5 years. So I not only see everything, I know where everything is, and I could actually am I talking too much? I feel like I'm running.
No, you're not talking too much, but I'll throw you the skeptics.
Go ahead.
Version
go.
Of
oh,
this,
absolutely.
And that is,
sure, go ahead.
Okay, you've been in this dark room for 4 hours a day, and you've been tilting this.
Oh, no, not 4 hours a day. Like between 2 to 3 hours a day.
Okay,
every night.
2 to 3 hours a day, and you're tilting this photo, and you know it forwards and backwards. Now, a skeptic would say, Gary, are you reading into this photo a little bit, or have you – now, mind you, we've gone down this journey, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Absolutely. Hey, absolutely, you know. Dude. Believe me, I've met with 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they actually sat beside me and saw everything in this photo and refused to believe it. You know, and now my friends and family, they all see it and they say, Gary, you got to pursue this. You can't stop, which I won't. But yes, Tim, if we over the phone and over the radio, absolutely. You'd say, nah, the guy's nuts. If you look at it, and if you were sitting with me, I could show it to you. And you would say, oh, my God, you're telling the truth. This is a message. They're going to show up. Go ahead. What's your next question?
Well, just that in that, with that skeptic saying, okay, have you spent too much time in a room? Maybe you're taking a dream a little too far. Maybe there's a subliminal suggestion from what your mother had told you there. Have you or did you in this process ever stop to consider at one point or another that maybe – it was the imagination of a Hollywood screenwriter maybe taken a little too far. Did that ever pop up in your head?
No, because the letters beside the Great Pyramid that freaked everybody out, they're there. And they're only in this photo. They're only in the July 26, 2012 photo. As you know, July 26, 2012, when this photo was downloaded, 5 months after that date, was December 21st, 2012, which was the Mayan calendar.
Okay.
So, and know this, I also went to the Sun and Moon Pyramid in Mexico. I didn't go there, but I pulled up photos.
Mm-hmm.
This writing is beside the Sun and Moon Pyramid. So, yes, so there's so it's undeniable. You'll see everything.
Okay.
Whether or not you'll believe it is a whole other thing. But my whole deal is people will see it. They are eventually going to say, oh, my God, this is a message. And they won't be so frightened when it shows up, when it lands on the Temple Mount on July 26, 2022.
So ultimately, as an everyday person sitting in America, when this date hits,
yes,
how does it affect the average person?
Well, they'll probably have heard about this and they'll probably have already looked at it. So they'll probably say this is going to be the coolest thing on the planet. You know, I think they're going to be excited.
Is life going to go on? We're not, you know, there aren't going to be earthquakes and tremors and fires and floods and
no, the rapture thing. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay,
because
so,
this being, you know, actually, I talked with some Harvard religious scholars, and they said to us, they said, Gary, They said, we believe that God is a spirit, that he doesn't have an arm and legs and head. And I said, okay, granted. I said, but the person who created us, because it's right in the photo, the whole creation of us, I said, is this person. And he came from the Cygnus constellation and the planet of Seder. And these are the people who created us. But who created him, I don't know. And I asked him, and he did not tell me. So, is God a spirit? He might be. But the people who created us has a head, has arms, legs, and big shoulders, and there you go. Go ahead. What's your other question?
Well, my other question is, so let's say you've nailed it on the head. These are the people who created us. We've got, it's a firm confirmation. It can all be traced back. We can even let's say we can find the planet, the galaxy, the constellation, everything.
Right.
At that point, do you think humanity still accepts it? Because people are still so rooted and ingrained in dogma that I don't think that they could take what it is that you've put down here and go, you know what, I can buy into it.
No, you're absolutely right. Because like I said, these religious people, the problem is they're so wrapped up in a book. God is way too big to be in any one book. Plus, the books were written by men. They were written by a divine person. So the thing is no, you're right. They'll fight it all the way up until it lands. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's no way. But hopefully they'll look at the photo. They'll realize I'm telling the truth. They'll read my article that was written in the Florence Reminder. They'll take a look at it and they'll be a little less afraid. Because I actually had the rabbis. They said to me, well, Gary, if God shows up, we'll be dancing in the street. I said, Rabbi, you'll be crapping your pants. I said, that's what I said to him. I said, you'll be crapping your pants because you think God looks like Odin or Zeus. I said, God, the person who is the God of Moses and the God of Abraham, I said, he looks like an alien. He has a huge head, and you won't accept that. I said, so believe me, you'll be terrified. I said, but even worse than that, your children will be terrified, so you should show them this photo and tell them, be prepared for this, because when it shows up, you shouldn't. Cause I actually had some ministers say the same thing. He goes, well, Gary, if Jesus shows up, I said, well, he is going to show up. He'll be with this guy. He said, well, I'll be happy. And I said, no, minister, you will be terrified, and so will your children. So don't think about adults. Think about your kids. That's who's going to be terrified, because they're going to think it's going to be an invasion. So anyway, I'm sorry. Did I get off topic?
No, you didn't. In fact, you're following my line of questioning, actually, right where I want to take it. And that is, supposedly around the time that the Bible was conceived, we were to believe that Jesus walked the earth in a human form.
Yes.
Has Abba ever mentioned to you whether when he would make himself known, or if he does make himself known, if he's going to do it in human form, or is he going to do it in his true form?
You know what? Believe it or not, Jesus and all, you know how they say, because I actually asked him, I said, so is Jesus God? You know, because I'm thinking, you don't look anything like Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't want to get too crazy about this, but Jesus works for this guy. Jesus is part of this. Jesus was a big deal. Jesus was, but in the photo, Jesus is standing beside a woman, and there's two boys standing beside them. One is like 11, the other one is like 8. Okay, so, and Jesus in the photo ages, and he's old. So, like I said, in the photo, he's not nailed to a cross, he's tied to the cross. And there's a lot of Hebrew writing all around him, but the Judaic scholar and other people would not translate it for me. So it's all there. So yeah, he is a big part of this. But, you know, like I think something about, and I don't know a lot about the Bible or the Torah and stuff, but people say, well, you know, the rapture and Jesus is going to come down on a cloud. Well, the only cloud he's going to come down on would be the eye cloud, because he's not going to come down on a cloud, because that would be even more terrifying.
Right.
So no, the vision that Abba showed me at the river, did you ever see the movie? And I always got to go back to movies, because most listeners and you and I know these movies.
Sure.
Do you remember The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
You saw that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the thing that landed in Central Park? It looked like a big globe and it kept spinning like it was a multidimensional craft. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what it's going to look like. That's what's going to land on the Temple Mount. It's going to be a big circular thing that constantly revolves, and it's going to be a multidimensional craft. And the Garden of Eden and all that stuff, the new Garden of Eden is going to be in there. That will be the third temple. That was show. I was shown that by Abba, by the alien. So yeah. So I'm sorry. Did I go off topic again?
No, you didn't. But you said something very interesting that kind of tripped my spidey sense here again.
Go ahead.
You said that there's the picture that was shown of Jesus and a woman and two children, or two sons.
Yeah, two boys. Right.
Are we to assume then that he grew old, as most rabbis would, and had a family?
The way the picture shows it, it shows that he got old, and his kids had a bunch of kids, like a ton of kids. So, and also in the picture, the woman beside him gets old. So they both get old together. And so yes, that's in the photo. So, and I could show it to you. But here's the kind of cool thing. You know how when people say, oh, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you're forgiven for your sins. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like a filter thing. Well, in the photo, there is right beside the Garden of Eden, there's a serpent. It's a huge serpent. It's huge. And its tail runs the entire length of hell, okay, of Hades.
Okay.
But as it crosses the river Styx, the tail of the serpent goes right through Jesus' head, who's on the cross. He's on the cross, and it goes right down the middle of his body. There's all this Hebrew writing on it, which I don't know. And the tail goes all the way down the middle. Now, there's like spirits on the right side. They go, towards the tree of life, the spirits. To the left side, they kind of go back to the river Styx. So I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. Is this the filter they're talking about? Like forgiving your sins? You have to go through this serpent. And then it goes down through Jesus, and then are you forgiven for your sins? So it's all in here, but me, I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know how to interpret it. All I know is what I see and what I've been shown. So, and I don't have all the answers, but I could show people.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you would see it, Tim, if we were sitting there together. And even though you say, well, Gary, it's a lot your imagination, I do have a great imagination. You're right. But not this great. I am no Stephen King, believe me.
So I have to ask this question. We've dealt with the biblical side of things. Has Abba told you that why or if or how we would ever have disclosure of a race from another planet, or if that would happen along with this apocalypse, as you put it?
Yes. What's going to happen is this. When they come back, we are going to – first of all, he's going to give everything – let me just say this. I know a lot of people hate when I say this, but – the Jewish people are his chosen people. He is going to stay with them. He's going to be in their country. He's going to give them everything first. And then when I say everything, they will not have anybody die. They will not have anybody sick. There will be no more wars against Israel. Like they'll almost like a dome over the place. You won't be able to attack them. They will be given everything. Now, in our world, things won't change that much. You know, like people say, well, when Jesus comes back or when God comes back, there's going to be a king. There's not going to be any kings. We're going to have presidents. We're going to have the world's going to go on. There's going to be rich. There's going to be poor. People are going to die, but not in Israel. They're going to get everything, and then they're going to do a trickle down. So they're going to start sending us stuff. So, and information, everything, and all of our world leaders, and hopefully they'll include me because I'm hoping I get a front row seat. They're going to invite people to be on the Temple Mount and to get a lot of knowledge. So what it's going to do is, and it's not going to happen overnight, but what's going to happen is man's going to evolve technologically. We're going to evolve, what did I say, technologically and also spiritually. And what's the last one? Well, I can't remember. But anyway, so we're going to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And the end game is this. We are going to assist these beings in going out into space and colonizing planets. That is our whole deal. That's what we're going to do.
Because we've always heard, at least on this show.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
And on other shows, we've heard, well, these beings are coming to us to help us because we're the, you know, we're the monkeys in the cage. We're the uncivilized ones. So you're saying it's the opposite. We're actually going to go out and help colonize planets.
Well, not for a while. But know this too, Tim. There are thousands of great pyramids on thousands of planets in thousands of galaxies. We're just one of many. And these beings manage us and others. But in order for us to venture out with them, they need us. Now, this is going to be amazing, but do you know how you look when you're looking at the Giza Plateau? Do you see all that gold? It almost looks like gold. A lot of it looks, and it looks like sand, but it looks gold.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. All that gold are souls. They use the power of souls to travel. So they're not going to come down here and kill us or eat us or do anything like that. They need us to evolve so our souls have more energy. And then when we pass away or we live our lifetime of 120 or 140 years, whatever, our souls go into this and we're projected, and it's all reincarnation. We go to other planets and dude, it's almost like a soul factory. But we get to learn everything. We get to know what they know, and it's going to be awesome. It really is.
I think you've managed to blow up just about every religion tonight that you could, Gary.
Well, remember, most religions were created by men, and true, I don't think this guy has a religion. So, I don't know. But yes, but that's what's going to happen. But it is going to land July 26, 2022 on the Temple Mount, and my job is for people to see it so they don't freak out and hurt themselves or other people. Or North Korea doesn't shoot a missile at this guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I'm teasing. I'm trying to be funny.
No.
But, yeah. You know what I mean?
That'd be irony right there. Abba shows up and all of a sudden somebody picks him off, you know?
Yeah, could you imagine? So anyway, but these beings are millions and millions of years more advanced than we are. They're fifth dimensional creatures. They I don't think they can go back in time though, like that movie Arrival. Mm-hmm. They can't go back in time, but they really can't go ahead of time either. It's all linear, but there are they manage thousands of planets with the same a great pyramid on them, and some of the other planets are more advanced than us, and some of them are back in the Stone Age. So they're all in different levels of evolution. So, and like I said, it's all in the photo. Tim, I can show it to you. It's all in the photo.
All right. Now, Gary, last question here for tonight. What happens, because we've heard prophecy before and things are going to happen on certain dates, that date come and
right.
go, it comes and goes,
absolutely,
and nothing happens.
Right.
What happens if this date comes and goes and Abba doesn't make an appearance or things don't happen the way you say they're going to happen?
Absolutely. Here's the deal. What will happen is hopefully, because it's about we got a little under 5 years before July 26, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if my message gets out the way I hope it will, and people will start looking at this and they'll realize this is a message, what happens is, and everybody will, because like I said, I'm like the Terminator. I don't stop. So I'll be pushing this down the world's throat, even if I have to restore the Great Pyramid. So, and remember, this all started from peace and love, me wanting to do world peace, mm-hmm, and restoring the Great Pyramid. So that was the nucleus of this whole thing. Now, I actually asked him, I said, they told me, what will happen if they don't show up? It will not be good. Because we will not evolve, we will not be able to go out in the stars, and we will still be living the way we're living. Now, some of us are all right. Some of us don't care to know the truth. You know, they have jobs, they make movies, they have money, they go on vacations. They don't care to know the truth. And that, to me, would be the saddest thing in the world. Because he actually said to me, Gary, if we don't return, saying that we're not evolved enough, that I didn't warn them enough, if they don't return and it will be bad, because things will stay exactly the same, which would be horrible for me anyway. You know, because I love my life and I love America, I love the earth, and I think there's so much more good people than bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But I want things to move on. I want to know the truth. I want to go to other planets. I want to know that I get reincarnated and that I get another shot at this. So to me, if they don't show up, we're going to be the same way we are, and that's sad. Stuck in a rut. To me, anyway.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that would be a tragic story, to be honest with you. If
so do I. After you know so many great things that can be seen throughout the universe, and you get to see them, and then it's like, nah, we're not going to give it to you because you guys are a bunch of assholes. Well, that would crush me. I'd say like, oh my God, I didn't do my job. I'm a schmuck. So the hope that maybe they'll stone me here in Florence. You know what I mean? So, Tim, here's what I wanted to tell you and your listeners, too.
Yeah.
If you guys ever want to, come to Florence, stand in the river with me, and yell up. I actually had one elected official here, And he actually said to me, when he saw the Garden of Eden and everything, because I met with him, he said to me, he goes, Gary, do you think that river can heal people? And I said, well, I have no idea. Maybe. And I said, why are you asking? He said, well, my son's dying of cancer. And it's stage 4 liver cancer. And I said, well, do you want to take him down? Let's give it a shot. I said, because I figured then maybe if he did get healed, people would say, oh, my God, he healed him. You know, then my message would get out even faster. Well, he said, I'm going to talk to my wife about it, and I'll call you. The next day, he called me and said, my wife and I, we're not going to do it. And I said, well, how long does your son have? He has 3 weeks to live. I said, are you sure, man? Let's try it. So let me just say this. I don't know if the river can heal people, but I would love to give it a try. So if you know anybody and they want to come down to Arizona and try to get healed, I do it in a heartbeat. And there's no fee. It's all free.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
So there you go, man. I don't know.
Gary, now you got to get the information out here somewhere. What vehicle do you have to get the information out to people?
Other than my mouth and this phone and you, I really don't have anything. I've actually, for the past 3 weeks, I've lined up this. You are my 6th radio show, and I have 4 more lined up. Okay. But, you know, Tim, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Even though I know all these things, I'm not really that bright. I'm just some hack screenwriter, and I don't know about making videos and doing all that and getting things produced. Yeah, I had movies. I had one movie produced, but someone else put the money up.
Okay.
So I'll do. If there's any way to get the message out and anybody has any advice, can I give you my email that they can email me?
Yeah, too? Please do.
Okay, it's a G. Let me make sure I get it because it's a new one.
Okay.
It's G.Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, 3636 Gary, G-A-R-Y, at AOL.com. That's G.Parker, 36 Gary, with one R, at AOL.com. And I'd love any advice, and any help at all would be great. But I would love for them to go and read the article on the Florence Reminder. And I'd love to be back on your show, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Because there's more things to tell you, even though you and I have just covered the spectrum of so many things. So
right. And
go ahead, Tim. I keep talking. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. And as you gather more information and as you get some resources built up. And again, if you're interested in helping Gary out, email him and let him know. If you're a web designer, if you're someone who's an aspiring video student or someone who wants to help Gary get his message out, get a hold of him and help him out, because it looks like he's got quite a bit of work to do in the next 5 years here.
I really do. And like I said, I'm not that bright, Tim. Believe me. I'm really, even though I sounded really smart, I think out of 400 people I graduated, 600th. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. We all have our talents, Gary. That's the thing.
Yeah, there you go. I'm a good messenger. And anyway, I keep talking. Stop me. Go ahead.
You're okay. So we'll leave it at that tonight, folks. By all means, if you have a way to help out Gary and help him get the message out, email him at that email address at AOL.com. Gary, thank you very much for being with us tonight, and good luck in getting your message out.
Thank you, my brother. That was awesome. It was really fun.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And folks, join us again tomorrow night for more strange and supernatural here on Beyond the Darkness.